There's power in our words when we speak hope, life, and God's promises to those we love. But Jesus said we are to bless those who curse us. How do we do that?
Let's see what the Bible says about that. Hey, welcome to the podcast. I'm glad you are here for this one. If you have not yet subscribed to our YouTube channel, you should. We have podcasts come out every Wednesday morning at 8 a.m. And if you would like this video, comment any thoughts you have down below. That would be great. Help get some traction on YouTube. Yeah. And you can share it with a friend as well if you're listening on Spotify or whatever else. I'm glad you're here for this one. Yeah. It's going to be great.
That's our new tagline.
Yes.
It's going to be great.
It's going to be great.
Glad to have Truett back with us after several weeks out with camp and all sorts of stuff. Yeah. So it's good. All right. We've been talking a lot lately here at Vertical about the power of spoken blessing as part of our Real Family Matters series. And whenever we say the word spoken blessing, I know that's important for us today to say because we typically disassociate spoken and blessing. We tend to think of blessing as more material things, I think. Sometimes we'll talk more about that in a little bit. But saying spoken blessing is actually a little bit redundant if you consider the real biblical meaning of the word blessing because it's the same word we get our word eulogy from. And you think of someone speaking good words about someone at a funeral service. We call that the eulogy. But the Bible talks about blessing as a part of relationships and life where we speak words of hope and love and God's promise and vision into someone else's life. That's blessing. Mm-hmm. And I know we sometimes don't understand that. And so we have associated in 21st century America the word blessing as being something financial or material or promotion at work, you know, check in the mail kind of things. And those are blessings.
Yeah.
But to ascribe that only to blessing is to miss the far greater meaning of actually what it means to give a blessing to someone.
I think it'd be more important maybe if we were to change our words from just considering the material goods, the you know, monetary gain, all that kind of stuff as blessings, as changing that more towards this is God providing. This is providence.
Yes.
This is a gift.
Yes.
Yes, it's a blessing, obviously, to us. It's like something that enriches your life.
Yep.
But it is, I think, more accurate to say that's God's providence. And
it's true.
And saying it in that way and using the term of blessing for what blessing actually is.
Yeah. Yeah. And I get it. You know, you've come down through time and if you lived through the 80s and Christian America, you know, word blessing became widely associated with monetary
money. Yeah, exactly.
And money and possessions. And so those are blessings. But real blessing, however, in the Bible was always with a spoken word. It was it was a word given to someone, spoken to someone that ascribed to them honor, worth, value, gave them encouragement, gave them hope, assured them of God's promises. And this is where I think we have to get back to a biblical framework of really what blessing means. And of course, then you read throughout the scripture, you find God blessing people. And again, we have to rewrite in our minds what that means because we automatically think in terms of, oh, okay, that means they must have had a lot of camels and they had tents and they had possessions
lots
and money
of things,
and gold and maybe. But the blessings were spoken blessings. You know, in the beginning, God blessed Adam and Eve. And that blessing came with a direction for their life to go and multiply and have authority over all created world. That was the spoken blessing. And then later we find God giving a blessing, spoken blessing to Abraham and to Sarah, to Isaac and to Jacob and to David and to Mary and to Jesus. We could go on and on. They were spoken blessings of his worth, of their worth, his love for them, his promise to them, his purpose for them. That's what a blessing was. It was bringing God's reality and love into the moment and imparting that to someone. And so that has all kind of power when it comes to family, when it comes to giving a blessing, you are giving to someone else, you are imparting to someone else the presence and purpose of God for their life. That's so different than just thinking of, oh, I got a blessing today. You know, I got a check in the mail.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. Or someone Venmo'd me this and wow, that's just a blessing. You know, it's like, yes,
it is.
But isn't it possible to live a blessed life without all of the extravagant blessings and all this? Or without all the extravagant possessions?
Correct. I should
say. Without all the extravagant spending, without all the extravagant bank account and all that stuff. Yeah. Because if that's all that blessings were, then we would. There would only be a few people that are blessed, and it would be
right.
That would be the only thing to strive to.
Yeah. Or you would think in life that there are sometimes I'm blessed and sometimes I'm not blessed.
Yes, exactly. and that worth is only determined by my bank account.
Tough. So we've got to get back to a biblical framework. That's what we've been attempting to do over the last weeks here at Vertical. Yeah. And this podcast today, we're going to have to cover some ground to get us to where we need to be today. If we're going to talk about how to bless those who curse us, we've got to get a right perspective on what blessing even means.
Yeah. And I think at that, it is important for all of us to understand that everyone has been created with the need to be blessed, with that desire, and with that, it is essential for someone to receive blessing, not monetary,
correct,
but to receive the words of blessing from those an authority in their life, from those around them in their life, and especially to know God's favor, God's delight, God's attention, God's affection, God's thoughts towards us.
Yes.
That is what we need at our most core, and not just like, oh, it's something that would be super nice, but it is a necessity.
Yeah. When God creates Adam and Eve, if you will, while the clay is still wet, maybe, he speaks blessing to him and to them. And so written into the DNA of any person born after them would be this need for hearing God's favor, approval, and love. It's written into us. We have that desperation, that longing to know that.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is what made and makes sin so deadly, is that it drove us away from God, away from knowing his full favor and blessing, spoken word blessing.
Yep.
And that is why God made a covering for Adam and Eve. And again, even still blessing them, even though they had cursed God, they had taken on their own way and all that stuff. But this is why he created a sacrificial system, is that we might know we have a way to God and that we can receive his blessing still, right? This is why Jesus came to be the sacrifice for us, so that we could return to God, have our guilt removed, and that we would be able to hear God's blessing again. You know, that's like what the Old Testament is founded on. We look at Deuteronomy and all that stuff. It's here are the blessings, not just here is monetary gain if you follow me, but here's a life, a nation, a family of blessing.
Right.
As you walk in my way, right?
Yeah.
So
again,
we're told to speak blessing to one another, not just give to one another and not whatever other things, but to speak it from husband to wife, wife to husband, parent to child, child to parent, and one to another in the church. We are to speak blessings.
Yeah, I just a thought here. I just wonder, over the last decades, if this is what's happened even in, we'll say 21st century America, 20th century America even, this idea that you come into a prosperous 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, American Christianity, and we think in terms of passing on those blessings, financial possessions, to family, even from parents down to kids. And so then that's why all of a sudden you get generations where the parents are attempting to do for them in possessions, but neglecting to give to them in their words, love and honor and worth and significance and God's purpose. That's what you end up with, is a very materialistic culture who is absent of the thoughts and minds and purposes of God for their life.
Ooh, exactly.
Ooh, man.
Yep.
It's just fascinating all by itself.
Again, what are you what are you putting the value on in your life? You know, what are you passing down?
Definition. We actually
passing down blessing.
Yes.
And what is blessing? Yeah. That's what we got to find out.
Yeah. So favor, the favor of God, the purpose of God, the promises of God for your life.
Yes.
Speaking that to one another is blessing.
Yeah. Because the words that we speak have power with them.
Yep.
And it does change, impact, and affect the next generation and those around you, those closest to you. You know, husband to wife, wife to husband, parent to child, child to parent, friend to friend, you know, like
within the church,
Christian to Christian, all that stuff. So important because your words have the empower, have the power to increase someone else's faith.
Yep.
To give them hope, to give them vision, to give them, you know, a desire for the future and all that stuff. Our words have the power to do that. Our words have the power to drive them to the Lord for his blessing, not just one person to another, but the authority of all authorities' blessings. And our words that we speak to someone else, not just the things we think towards someone else, but what we speak to someone else has the ability to fill in the gaps where others weren't blessed by the authorities in their life or by those around them in their life. And then we are to be a blessing to others with our words and with our life.
So with all of that in mind, I think we're starting to get a better grasp now, a better framework for what blessings are. They're spoken. They're intended to be spoken. They have power. They give life. I was reading a study, or I was reading a book about a study that in Jewish families, they practice this. In more Jewish families that truly observe Old Testament principles and laws, they have times where they regularly speak blessing into their family, parents to the children, parents to one another. And this study, at least, was pointing out that this is why you often find Jewish children growing up to be very successful in what they do, because their parents spoke blessing to them.
Wow, so good.
Because they intentionally knew the power of a spoken blessing. And so when that's missing in a person's life, we know the opposite of this is true as well. In families and in a child's life where there is the opposite or the absence of any kind of blessing, then they live in desperation looking for it. They often go off finding it in wrong relationships, possessions, drugs, substance abuse, and so forth. And it crashes their life. So there's power in the spoken blessing. Blessing needs to be spoken. So this all makes sense to us in terms of family, within the church, to children. But then Jesus comes along and says something that kind of throws us all for a loop, that just makes us have to rethink maybe some things that we've understood and believed even about the idea of blessing. It happens in a command in the New Testament six different times. It shows up in a way it's shown, it's demonstrated multiple ways in the New Testament. But the first time it appears is in the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus says something that's going to throw all of this into a completely different conversation. Here's what he says. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Wow. So here's Jesus saying, not only are you to bless those you love, and not only are you to bless those who are family, but you're to bless those who curse you, those who despise you, those who are saying ill-intended words toward you. So if we're going to understand what that means, we got to back up. We got to take some time here, and let's look at the entire passage that this comes from, the entire conversation, because those are hard words. Those are hard things to think in terms of blessing the person who's cursing you, who's speaking evil against you.
Yeah.
So we're going to take just a little bit of time here and back up.
Yeah.
Take a little bit bigger lens look at this. This comes from Matthew 5. It's in 43 through 45. It's part of a larger context about the sermon. We know of as the Sermon on the Mount. But we have to get the right picture of this, because we're having to undo some things. We're having to undo definitions of blessing that we thought, especially when it comes to blessing someone who's cursing us. Sometimes we get this wrong picture. Even in that idea, we think, okay, if I'm supposed to bless someone who curses me, then I'm supposed to maybe say something complimentary
nice,
to them.
Yeah.
I need to say something nice to them, or I need to give them something financially. That would be a blessing. I'll bless them. Or that maybe, you know, almost like a priest, I'm supposed to wave my hands mm-hmm. and say, bless you. All of those, I think, would be incomplete approaches to understanding this. So we got to back out a little bit. If we start at the beginning of Matthew 5, we find that we are in the context of the sermon that Jesus is preaching. Mm-hmm. And interestingly, it begins with the word blessed or blessed. Jesus pronounces blessing. He's in the process of blessing the people there, but he says in a way that's different than what people had heard in that day.
Yeah.
I think the religious message of the day at that time, and we can all understand this, is that there was blessing on those who were rich, blessing on those who were powerful,
yeah.
blessing on those who were happy,
yeah.
And that was what you kind of strove
that's
for.
You, yeah.
you wanted that. Mm-hmm. But Jesus flips all of that, and he says blessed are the poor in spirit. Oh, okay. So those who are really kind of impoverished
yeah.
financially and even in their soul. He said, you actually are blessed because you have the kingdom of heaven. He said, blessed are those who mourn, who are going through sorrow and sadness, because you're going to be comforted. Blessed are mm-hmm. the meek who have little, but he says your blessing is you're going to inherit the earth. Blessed are those who are hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Blessed are those who are merciful, the peacemakers, those who are persecuted. Jesus starts the whole conversation with about the power of blessing, and he pronounces blessing. And he pronounces blessing on people who are going through it. I mean, those are all difficult life scenarios.
Yeah.
And Jesus pronounces blessing on all of those
mm-hmm.
people who may have thought, I'm walking under a curse because I'm going through loss. I'm mourning. Jesus says, no, you're not under curse. You're blessed. Because
yeah.
you're going to know the comfort of God. So Jesus gives all of this blessing, and then he starts talking about how we live that out, how we demonstrate that
yeah.
to one another, how we walk in it, and then how we live it, and how we relate with it. And Jesus takes it all the way down into the very uncomfortable situation of when someone does something painful to us, something that we might yeah. even consider a curse to us. And he's setting us, he's preparing the way to help us understand this. So you move down to verse 38 in his mm-hmm. message, and Jesus starts with a presupposition, but that's really not the right word here. He starts with a bigger truth, I guess
yeah.
is the right yeah. way to say this. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. So they would have recognized that. It's actually from the law.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I think we get a wrong picture of even what that means.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard a powerful podcast from the Bible Project folks about this
so
entire
good.
Passage. I recommend you to go listen to that at some point. It's on the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes. And their take on this, which I believe is accurate, is that that law from the Old Testament was not a setup for if someone takes your tooth, you need to go and take their tooth out. It wasn't,
mm-hmm.
you know, a vindictive measure. It
yeah.
was actually a protective law,
huh.
a protective law that says, no, if someone takes an eye, then you should take, their eye should be taken, and that's it.
Yeah.
Don't go overboard. Don't look to take eye, arm, foot, leg.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, exactly.
That's how we normally think. I normally think in terms of, oh, well, you hurt
you
me
messed
and took
me
my
up.
X. Well, I'm going to take X, Y, and Z
yeah,
from
exactly.
you because of that.
Yeah.
That's the culture we live in today.
Yeah, and so there should be just justice, not retribution, not like, oh, I'm going to mess you up now that
right.
you have wronged me one time. I'm
yep.
going to go wreck your whole
yep.
everything, you know?
Yeah.
But it should be justice.
Yeah. And Jesus says, now, you've heard that. You know that truth, that law. But then Jesus says, but I tell you not to resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other to him also. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that, read that, but when I heard the Bible Project take on it, it clicked in changes, a completely different way. So context is key always. Let's do a couple of context points here for us. Number one, the culture at the time was an honor-shame culture. People were born into certain classes of the culture. You were part of certain groupings, and certain groups had more honor while other groups had shame. And you could not cross those lines. And it was even typical, classic, we would say today, for people in one class to take advantage of the lower class, to even have freedom to bring shame upon them because they're part of this honor shame culture. They could do those things. And Jesus says here that do not resist an evil person. He says, but whoever slaps you on the right cheek. Now, the Gospel of Matthew and Jesus' words here are specific. The right cheek. It's interesting. So a person is most likely going to be slapping with their right hand. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be slapping the right cheek. So you know, if you just kind of motion that with your own hands, you realize if I'm using my right hand, but I'm going to hit their right cheek, it's not going to be with a forward motion.
Yeah.
A right hand to the right cheek would require a backhand motion. So again, you have this shameful approach, this shame of slapping someone. It's very derogatory. It's very demeaning. Yeah. And he says, if someone slaps you on the right cheek, which would have been, again, shame to you.
Yeah.
Then Jesus says there's a response. And the response is to turn the other to him also. So this was an intentional move on the one who's just been slapped on the right cheek with a right hand coming across them, that you were to turn back and offer them the left cheek. Now, in doing so, what you were actually doing is saying to them, I will not be shamed by your shameful act of slapping me, but now I'm going to face you, and by facing you with my left cheek, you're going to have to slap me again, if you're going to, with an open hand on my left cheek. Yeah. You're going to have to recognize I have worth, value. I will not be shamed. I will not cower. I will not yield. I will not be a doormat. But if you're going to slap me again, you're going to have to recognize I see who I am and I see who you are. Yeah. That's a completely different look
so good.
At that verse and this passage.
Yeah.
That Jesus is not calling us to just...
go get beat up by everyone.
to put yourself in this doormat position.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, just... lay down and let people do whatever they want to you. This is what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
No, that's not what's happening here.
No, because if you're going to offer your left cheek after you've just been slapped on your right cheek, you got to have some confidence in this.
Exactly.
You're going to have to stand up and be like, this is who I am.
Yes.
And I'm looking you in the face.
Yes.
And this is who I am.
Yes.
You know, like absolute confidence and strength is what that would require.
Yes. It would mean you would have to know, what you have done to me does not change who I am.
Yeah.
I don't need your validation to prove my worth. In fact, I am so confident I am blessed, loved, favored, belong to God. I can offer to you my left cheek and insist that if you're going to do that again, you're going to have to do that as an equal.
Yeah.
I recognize who I am standing before you.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. Especially as Jesus goes and is preaching to the people who are in the lower class.
Yes.
He is preaching to the people who are mourning, who are poor in spirit, who are brokenhearted, who are hungering and thirsting for righteousness.
Yes.
That's the people he's talking to. He's not talking to the kings and he's not talking to the high leaders of the day, but to the low people.
Yes. And so he's pronouncing blessing on them.
And he's saying, yes, this is how. This is who you are. This is, you have value.
Yes.
And this is what you're supposed to do.
And so,
as a Jesus follower.
And so when someone wants to attempt to take a curse out on you, you can stand there. You don't have to walk in it. You don't have to receive it. You can stand there
blessed.
And face them eye to eye. I am blessed.
Yeah.
So
good.
That's good. So then
good.
The very next thing Jesus says is, and if anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. Again, Jesus is very specific about the words that he's using here and the items of clothing. Mm-hmm. The tunic would have been the undergarment that was worn against the skin. Mm-hmm. And then the cloak would have been the outer garment over the tunic. Mm-hmm. And so it's interesting that someone would want to sue you and take away your tunic and didn't start with the cloak. You'd think you'd start with the cloak, the outer garment.
Yeah.
But clearly this is someone who is wanting to be not even just, not even fair, mm-hmm. not even the least bit caring, because they're wanting to take away that which is closest to you, that would reveal your shame and leave you with only your cloak. And that would be inappropriate. That would be someone who's extreme. That would be not right.
Yeah.
Again, looks like someone slapping you on the cheek. Mm-hmm. And so Jesus says, if that happens, if they want to take the tunic, then offer him your cloak also. So you think about it. If I'm losing my undergarment, then I would at least probably want to hold on to my outer garment. But Jesus says, no, go ahead and let him have your cloak, your outer garment as well. Well, what is that going to do? It's going to leave me naked. It's mm-hmm. going to leave me exposed.
Yeah.
But what it's also going to do is show that person's motives for who they are.
Yeah.
Because they could have just taken your cloak and at least let you go away in dignity. But the fact mm-hmm. that they want to take everything that you have, well, go ahead and do that. And in the confidence of who you are, just stand there and let everybody else see who they are.
Yeah.
Ooh, and, it's and such standing, a different look at that passage.
Exactly. Standing in the blessing of who God says you are and his relationship toward you and letting the one who's cursing you, it doesn't change who you are.
Exactly.
I'm standing in this confidently. Yep. Not like, hey, if someone wants something from you, you actually are worth nothing. So just give up everything you have.
Yep.
That is sadly, I think, how this has been taught on both of these sides is
correct.
Like, hey, if someone wrongs you, make them wrong you again because you suck. It's like, that's the worst teaching to a Jesus follower. Cause like, is that really what Jesus is teaching here? Mm-hmm. No, mm-hmm. he's not teaching, hey, we have no value and everyone else deserves your life. Mm-hmm. You know,
mm-hmm.
no,
yep.
it is, I'm standing in confidence of the blessing that I have because Jesus pronounced blessing to these people.
Yeah. And Jesus isn't finished yet in this whole message series. He's going to go on with two more instructions. And they're going to be rooted in confidence of who you are, not in weakness and not in cowering, not in bowing, but in certainty. I'm blessed.
Yeah.
And I'm going to stand in my position and who I am in Jesus. So in verse 41, 42, he says, whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him two. So this was the law of the land in the day. If the Roman soldier came upon you, there was a law that gave him the ability to ask you to go 1 mile carrying his pack. Mm-hmm. That was required.
Yeah.
That was the standard. And so Jesus says, if that happens, be willing to go with him two miles. This was not, again, as a further beat down for you. This was not because
you're actually so terrible.
You're a lower class that you have to do this. This was a way of saying, I am so confident in who I am. I have such a purpose for my life. I'm going to go a second mile out of benefit for you, not as a beat down for me.
Yeah.
It all comes from a place of strength and confidence and certainty of blessed. Then Jesus says, give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. Again, not out of forced.
Yeah.
Compliance, not out of, I just don't have anything of my own. I have to give everything I have away. No, out of the intentional realization, I know who I am. I am blessed. You can have what I have. I will give to you what I have out of my desire, out of my willingness, out of my blessing. So with all of that as the backdrop, then we come upon 43 that says, You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. So all the context here is from the standing, the confident, certain standing that I am blessed. This is not me relinquishing, giving up, laying down like a doormat into a situation. No, I am intentional in what I am doing here. It is from what I have and from confidence that I am able to actually speak and be a blessing to those who are cursing me.
Yeah.
Now, we talked about blessing today, but if someone were cursing you, this is not just profanity.
No.
That's another, word wipe we have to do here. Think a little bit different, even about the word curse and cursing, because if someone were to curse you, it would mean to speak the presence of Satan into your life. Mm-hmm. If blessing is speaking the presence of God into your life, then cursing is speaking the presence of Satan into someone's life. In other words, someone telling you, oh, you're just of the devil. You have no worth. You're evil. You're wicked. You're useless. You're a fool. Yeah. You're not blessed. You're a troublemaker. You'll never amount to anything. Those are cursings from someone who wants ill for you, and they are in line with the very thing that the enemy, Satan himself, speaks against us. And Jesus is saying here is when they say that, your responsibility is to bless in return.
Yeah.
Okay? So, in other words, when that happens, you have multiple options at play as to what you can do. But here's what you should do is you should not respond with equal cursing. That'd be easy to do.
Yeah.
You insult me, I insult you. We get into this word match. That'd be easy to do. Or retaliate, respond with insults, seek revenge, attack them, engage in some kind of war of words, listen to their lies, be shaken by their lies. Jesus says, no, we're not going to do any of that.
No.
I want you, as my followers, to be the ones who, when you're cursed, you know how to bless in return.
Yeah.
Because of who you are, because of what I have said about you, you can stand with confidence and then be a blessing for someone else.
And again, not just, hey, when someone curses you, you better be nice back to them. Mm-hmm. You better be super kind and you better, speak sweetly to them.
Have a sappy compliment for them.
Not the case.
Right.
Because whenever you're offering your left cheek, that is not just being nice. That is standing up in confidence of like, hey, you're going to have to face me actually now and do this again if you're going to. I'm offer you my other cheek.
Yes.
That's not just like, oh, you know what? Thanks for that.
Right.
It is not that. Mm-hmm. It is not be nice, but it is be confident. Mm-hmm. Stand in the blessing.
Mm-hmm. So then the question is, okay, well, what does that even look like? How do we do that? How do we bless when someone is cursing us?
Yeah.
Well, we're going to talk about some ways that might look and some examples from Scripture. But again, it will be from a place of confidence and certainty, not fragile, wimpy, fearful, uncertainty, but confidence. So Here are some things that I think are part of what it means to bless when someone curses us, and we're going to find these as examples from Scripture. So I think the first thing that it means is when you bless someone who curses you, one of the ways you do that is by not giving them what they deserve in that moment. When someone's cursing you, there is a lot you could say and a lot you could do.
Yeah.
You could speak curse back on them.
Uh-huh.
You could go toe-to-toe with them. You could try to match and overdo and take and get more. You could eye for eye, tooth for tooth, and more.
Yeah.
But sometimes blessing is by not giving someone what they deserve. Mm-hmm. That's just as much a blessing.
Yeah.
And we find this because if you watch the life of Jesus, he's going to eventually face people who will curse him.
Mm-hmm.
He'll face the Pharisees. He'll face Herod. He'll face Pilate.
Mm-hmm.
And they will be the ones who will actually bring charges and final charges against him that he'll have to be crucified.
Yeah.
And up against that, the Bible says that Jesus stands before them and does not say a word. When it would have been easy to do so. You know he had the right words in his mind. You know he had the backstory of their life. He could have pulled up anything from their life and used it against them.
Yep.
He could have used that moment publicly to disgrace them, but he did not.
Yeah.
When he was cursed and reviled, he did not revile in return. That is being a blessing to someone. That is
showing mercy, being a blessing,
Yeah. Sometimes silence is
the blessing. Yeah.
So
good.
For all of our applications, wherever it might be, sometimes the best thing to do is not giving them what they deserve.
Yep.
Whether that's when you're driving down the highway and someone does something that you'd want to
curse them
for in a variety of ways. Sometimes blessing is not giving them what they deserve in the moment.
Yep.
When that person has said something offensive to you and you could easily get in a word match with them, sometimes blessing those who curse them shows up in silence by not giving them what they deserve, what's in your hand to be able to give to them, to when you could easily disgrace them. You choose not to. That is being a blessing, because what you're doing is you're bringing the reality of God to bear on that moment.
Yeah.
And you're showing up mercy.
Yep. And that speaks. And the thing that's awkward about that is you're going, but what if they don't realize that I'm not giving them what they deserve, you know? Exactly. It's seed planting.
Exactly.
It is a matter of I'm going to give this blessing of mercy.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to be like, I'm showing you mercy right now. That would be an example of not showing
mercy. Watch me bless you.
Yeah, exactly. Have fun with that pride.
Yeah.
You know, but this very real with husband, wife relationships, parent, child relationship to show mercy, to not give someone what they deserve. That is a blessing.
Yes.
Especially a blessing in the midst of a cursing, a rebellious, frustrating time or whatever, to not give them what they deserve. That's a blessing.
Yes, it is. So
good.
Put that in your tool bag.
Come on.
Of blessing. One of the ways to bless when someone curses you is to be silent. But the second thing we know from Scripture is that one of the ways that we can be a blessing to someone else or bless someone else when they curse us is by praying for them. Now, this is one of those that I know this is a sticking point for a lot of Christians, because they think, how can someone who's being cruel, rude, crude, mean, how am I supposed to pray for them and pray?
Mm-hmm.
Here's what we normally think. I'm supposed to pray for God to bless them. I'm supposed to pray that God will be...
Good things happen.
You know, good things will happen to them, that they will be financially prosperous, that they will have good things go well for them. That's what people think usually is. Okay, that's what it means.
I'm supposed to pray for them for that. Yeah.
Right. But so that, and that's where the disconnect is. Like, I can't even figure out how I'm supposed to do that.
Yeah.
Well, that's because that's not what that means.
Yeah.
I don't think that's exactly what Jesus is meaning here. And I think we can verify this in Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Blessing, again, if you're going to bless someone who curses us, we're bringing God into the moment. So when Jesus was faced with curses upon him, we know this happened at the cross. He's on the cross and people are saying all manner of evil against him. He saved others, but he can't save himself.
Yeah.
And here are the soldiers, and here are the people, and they're railing against him.
Yeah.
And in that moment, we have recorded in Scripture what Jesus prayed. And he didn't say...
And the fact that he even did pray.
Yeah,
even
exactly. He's praying for them, but he doesn't say, Lord, help them have a good day today in spite of the fact that they're cursing you right now.
Yeah.
Lord, would you please just make them financially prosperous in spite of the fact that they're being so cruel to me.
Yeah.
That's not what's recorded in Scripture.
Yeah.
Jesus deals with the very real essence of that moment and what it was. They were cursing him and they deserve judgment. They deserve the wrath of God on them. And Jesus prays and says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Yep.
That's very real. Mm-hmm. Because what they deserved in the moment was judgment and wrath.
Yeah.
And instead of cursing in return, Jesus prays for them in that very real moment. That's what they needed to have happen, and Jesus asked the Father to not give that to them. That's a prayer, a blessing.
Yeah.
And if that's the way you want to pray for those who are cursing you, the scripture opens the door and says, have at it.
Yes.
That's what they need. They don't need another car. They mm-hmm. don't need to get a check in the mail.
Yeah.
What they need is to have their sins forgiven.
Yeah. And it's not even that Jesus prays, Lord, help me be nice to these people. Help me know how to better communicate.
Correct.
Because those people were not in a position to be like, oh yeah, let me hear what you have to say actually. But yep. The prayer that he prays is that God would forgive them. That's crazy.
Yes.
In the most pain and the most isolation and the most agony a person could endure, he's saying, would you forgive them?
Yes.
Crazy.
That's what they needed. That's more powerful than anything else, than any prosperity element, any money, possessions, anything else. That's the thing they needed most, was to have their sin not charged against them. And Jesus goes there, gets very real with them all. That's blessing those who curse you. Mm-hmm. But the third way we see in Scripture, number one being, sometimes blessing is not giving someone what they deserve and being silent. Sometimes it is praying for them to not endure the wrath of God in that moment. The third way is speaking the presence of God into the moment. Blessing always brings the presence of God into the moment. It brings the reality of God's presence right there into the moment.
Yeah.
And sometimes that happens by the way we speak. Because people who are cursing us, hating us, persecuting us, they need to see God in the moment. And sometimes that happens by reminders and a declaration of where we stand.
Yeah.
Again, in a position of strength and blessing. So we see this happening in the book of Daniel for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they are standing before Nebuchadnezzar. And they're the three who refuse to bow to the statue, the idol that he has set up. And he's required everyone in the nation to bow down to it when the music plays. And he's already said that if you do not, that you'll be thrown into the fiery furnace. So death is the punishment. And these three refuse to bow. And so they are collected and brought before him. And they have something to say. So here's the moment where they are having a curse put upon them, but they're about to speak and bless, be a blessing in the moment. And they say, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, that you're going to throw us in the fiery furnace, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. They bring God right into the moment by their words.
Yeah.
But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. That was their speaking into the moment. That is a bless upon a curse. They didn't have some sappy compliment that said, oh, we really do like that outfit you're wearing. That looks so nice on you. You're such a treasured, valued king.
Yeah.
No, that's not what's happening here. And they don't bow. They don't cower. They say, okay, well, if that's what you want us to do, we'll go on into the fire. No, they stand in their conviction. They stand in their faith. They stand knowing who they are, and they speak God into the moment. Not disrespectful, not rude, just straightforward. It's as though they're turning back the left cheek and saying, if you're going to do this, you have to recognize who you're dealing with and who we are and who our God is.
Exactly. Standing and blessing,
And they stand there and they say that. Well, if you've been around the scripture for a while, you know what happens next. They're thrown into the fiery furnace. And as Nebuchadnezzar and his men look in, they see a fourth man in the fire. They call them all out. They bring the three out and nothing is burned up on them. They don't even smell of smoke. And Nebuchadnezzar repents and acknowledges the one true God. It started here, though. it started with them speaking God blessing. Into yep. the moment. Yep. They spoke blessing when a curse was leveled against them.
Mm-hmm.
Those are three examples. There's many, many more in Scripture. You could look in the book of Acts where the disciples are told they can't speak about the name yeah. of Jesus anymore and how they respond and say, we cannot be silent about this one who has changed our lives. We have to obey God rather than man. And they speak blessing in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
They still face some persecution, but they are set free. But this is what we're called to. And we're called to bless those who curse, again, not out of cowering fear, not out of shame or weakness, but out of confidence in who we are, because yeah. of who we are, because of whose we are, yep. because of what we have been given,
yeah.
in the confidence of that, you're able to look the cursor in the eye yep. and bless in return.
So good.
It's a completely different look. That good. Is how you bless those who curse you.
Yep.
Woo. Love good stuff.
It. So good.
So, lots of practical applications, of course, you can make up, and as you said, into family, into yeah. relationships, into culture, and yeah. into a culture today
yep.
that despises Christianity, that would want yeah. to cancel us.
Yeah.
Shames we do not us. Have to cower. We don't have Mm-mm. to listen to their shaming, Mm-mm. their canceling. It's okay to turn and offer the other cheek back to them. Stand up, face yeah. with confidence, and bless in return. Sometimes that's going to be with just silence.
Yep.
Sometimes it's going to be by praying that God doesn't just wipe them off the face of the earth in the moment yep. with his judgment. Sometimes it's going to be speaking the power of God and the presence of God up into the moment,
so
and
good.
Standing in the firmness of who we are yeah. in Christ. This is our calling in this day and time. This is why we must draw near, must know his blessing, because yeah. if you're not filled with it, you certainly can't overflow with it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm so glad to have you back with us, Trent.
Yeah, and, absolutely.
Talking about these matters today.
So
come join us at Vertical. We're talking more about how we do this, how we live out speaking blessing, and the power of walking that blessing. So thanks for joining us today. We will do all of this as we lift him up and live him out.